You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting. November. Jeez. Well, the fairly warm weather is still holding out. It's been like in the 50s. So far, so good. Haven't seen any of the white stuff. Really haven't had any frosts either. Pretty unusual. Anyway, what do you know? Yesterday, right on freaking Halloween, what did we have? What a surprise. Because everybody knows that radical, fanatical, fundamentalist terrorist Muslims love to stage their terrorist attacks on satanic holidays. It's just what they're into. So naturally, they're going to pick Halloween as a prime day. Holy Jesus H. But before I get ahead of myself, I'm going to talk about that in a few moments. These things are getting more and more just outright blatantly comical. I mean, it's just so out. Outrageously, laughably ridiculous. Laughably ridiculous. But before I get into that, let's do an update on the last major fiasco, Vegas shooting. As always, we have seen this so very many times over the years, haven't we, with these fake events. There's always a coincidental premonition in either a movie or a TV show like The Simpsons, you know. Simpsons did that with the Boston Marathon bombings, you may recall, only a month in advance on that one. You know, with 9/11, we saw scores and scores of movies that had 9/11 themes in them. Back to the Future had a bunch of premonitions, for example. We saw the same thing with the, you know, the Aurora shooting in the Batman movie. You had Commissioner Gordon talking to Bruce Wayne. Bruce, things aren't always what they appear to be. And as he's saying that, the camera zooms in where his finger is pointing on a map. And it's pointing right to Sandy Hook on the map. It says frickin' Sandy Hook. Unbelievable. Anyway, you know, we've seen this so many times before. Well, lo and behold, we see it now again with the Vegas shooting. Not just in a movie, but we have another interesting coincidental premonition in a song as well. Let's take a look first at the movie. In The Hangover, in the very opening of the movie, as the credits are rolling, not the credits, but, you know, the intro to the movie where they show the list of the main actors, you know, they got the music playing and everything. There is a scene of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. And while they're showing the Mandalay Bay, in the song, there's a line which says, I was born with a 13 tattooed on my neck. Now, that's very interesting, ladies and gentlemen, because as it turns out, Mr. Paddock had slash has, depending whether you believe he's dead or not, a tattoo on his neck of a number 13. Now, it appears that he either had that tattoo removed later, or it was airbrushed out, or maybe it was just one of those temporary tattoos that wash off. I don't know. But there's a photo from him, of him from, like, I don't know, last year or something, where he has a big number 13 on the left side of his neck. It's unmistakable. You can't miss it. So he definitely had number 13 on his neck. And now we see this, the Hangover movie, showing the Mandalay Bay Hotel. And at that very moment in this intro song, you have the lyrics, "I was born with a 13 tattooed on my neck." I mean, come on. You guys might remember, I talked a while back about there was a murder of a woman. What the hell is her name? Give me a second. Elisa Lam. Yeah. Elisa Lam. They found her inside of the water tank on top of a Los Angeles hotel. The Cecil, whatever, hotel. And lo and behold, not long before that, a few years before that, there was a movie that came out that portrayed that very scenario. Somebody had climbed into a or was thrown into a water tank on top of a hotel, and people were drinking the water that was putrefied because of the rotting corpse inside. Well, that's what happened in real life. After Elisa Lam was thrown into the damn water tank, hotel guests were complaining that the water was discolored and it smelled foul, you know, blah, 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 blah. Holy crap. By the way, you might also recall when I did that show that not long after that, the city of Los Angeles was offering inoculations for some flu virus or something. And they called it the Lam Elisa, you know, instead of Elisa Lam, the Lam Elisa. Oh, yeah, that was all coincidental, too, wasn't it? You got it. But anyway, so here we have this Vegas shooting premonition in this movie. All just coincidence, of course. But here's the other one now, the song. A Robbie Williams song, "Me and My Monkey," names the exact hotel involved in the shooting, again, the Mandalay Hotel, and then mentions the 33rd floor specifically. Very close, of course. It was actually supposed to have been the 32nd floor, but no matter. Both are very important numbers in Freemasonry. Interesting, though, that the song mentioned 33rd floor, as in 33rd degree. Anyway, Williams then went on to sing about taking his monkey into his hotel room, and he makes various references in the song to guns. This is all coincidental too, isn't it? After this, there are repeated lines about wondering, quote, why he did what he did. Are you serious? You know, this makes me think of an album called Party Music. And I'll be damned if I can remember the name of the band now. It was a rap band. The Coup. Yeah, that's it. The name of the band was The Coup. And their album was due to come out in November of 2001, but they pre-released the album cover for the upcoming album in August, a month before 9/11. And on the cover of that album, it had two band members standing at the base of one of the Twin Towers. And the picture was taken from, like, at ground level, looking up at them. And you can see the tower, you know, hovering overhead behind them. And there's a big explosion coming out of it. And one of them is holding a remote control device on it. And it says Covert Labs on it. Remember that? All coincidence, too, of course. Wow, man. How many times have we seen this kind of crap? And so here it is again with Vegas guys. This Robbie Williams song, and then, you know, the scene at the beginning of the Hangover movie. Unbelievable. The song also makes reference to a gunfight and, you know, deaths occurring, blah, 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 blah. Man, oh, man. It just doesn't end. It just doesn't end. The mind screw job association with these fake attacks. Like I said, as the weeks march on, more and more and more crap has been coming out and will continue to come out. It just doesn't stop. It's always the way with these shootings, guys. It just gets crazier and crazier. You don't see confirmation in the coming weeks that, oh, yeah, our initial suspicions are unwarranted. Everything checks out. No, 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 no. As the weeks march on, your previous suspicions get confirmed, and you are given new reasons to be even more suspicious and skeptical. Or should I say, you're given even more evidence that the whole thing's a fraud. You know, blowing the thing out of the water to the point of, you know, of hopelessness. There's no hope of saving these stories. But that doesn't stop the general dumb arse masses from still gulping it down and looking at you like you have antennas on your head when you question it. Anyway, yeah, I wanted to get into that Templar show. I don't know when I'm going to get to it, guys. Things keep happening. Things keep happening. I got to keep putting it off because now I got to talk about this frickin' fiasco yesterday. Here we go. On Halloween, another fake attack. We're told that a man drove, and his name is interesting. We'll be getting to that shortly, but anyway, he drove a flatbed pickup truck rented from a Home Depot, I guess it was, whatever, into a group of cyclists and runners on a, you know, on a bike path there in Manhattan on West Street. Killing, we're told, 8 people and then injuring at least 11 others. Gee, somebody screwed up. Wasn't he supposed to kill 9 people and injure 11? So we have an 8-11 with this one instead of a 9-11. But it doesn't matter because it's on Halloween. According to law enforcement sources, the driver shouted the phrase, can you guess? Can you guess? Can you guess? Something that we're told the 9-11 hijackers did as well. Allah Akbar, baby. Allah Akbar. You got to get that line in there. I'm sure over in Langley during the training session that was heavily instilled while this man was on serious psychotropic meds tripping out. Make sure you repeat Allah Akbar. Say it after me now. Oh, no, no. Well, do it with an Arab accent, not a Hebrew accent, you damn fool. Oh, yeah. Not an Israeli accent. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Wow. Did you see the pictures of the guy, ladies and gentlemen? Does he look Arab to you? You know what he looks like, don't you? Yeah. But anyway. Upon exiting the vehicle, we're told, he was shot shortly afterwards, chased down by police and shot in the abdomen and then arrested. Again, somebody screwed up. He wasn't killed? Well, I guess they let him live so he could go on to say that, or at least according to the story we're sold, they let him live. Who the hell knows? They let him live, all right. He's probably, you know, basking in the sun now on some Caribbean island somewhere. And, you know, the illusion is spun for us that he's arrested now. He's going to stand trial. And, oh, whatever, man. But I'm sure they want to keep him alive so they can continue to throw the story in our face. that he's bragging with pride about his accomplishments. That's been in the headlines all day today. New York terrorist brags and is proud of his shooting. Whatever. See, if you're dead, you can't do that. So you got to add insult to injury to build up even more hate, to get the public whipped into even more of a frenzy of anger and fear and desire for retribution, blah, 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 blah. Rallying behind El Governmente to save the day and to have the willingness to give up yet more freedoms, rights, and liberty. On and on and on. We're also told that he left a handwritten note in Arabic in the truck indicating that he undertook the attack on behalf of the CIA. Oh, well, ISIL, whatever, whatever. ISIL, CIA, same thing. Yeah, he had to leave a handwritten note in Arabic. I guess ISIL is a little short on funds these days. I wonder why. Maybe they owe a lot of money to the CIA for helping dealing drugs for them. I don't know. But in any case, they can't afford to hire a guy to do their footwork for them that can actually speak in and or write in English. He writes a note in Arabic. Oh, man. So he's not only saying Allah Akbar, something that apparently Muslims don't even really do that much. It's not the big thing that they claim it is. They certainly don't remind each other to say their morning prayers now, do they? But that's what the alleged Muhammad Atta letter that was found, in the glove compartment of the rental car at Logan and inside the check-in bag that wasn't checked in, the only one that wasn't checked in that morning. I think he had one in his pocket, in his shirt pocket, as well as his pants pocket. One stuffed in his underwear, and I think the stewardess had one in her bra too. If I'm not mistaken. Oh, for Christ's sakes, man! He had these notes all over the place, in which he was reminding all of his fellow terrorists to say their morning prayers. Give me a friggin' break! It's like telling a Catholic, "Don't forget to do your rosary tonight before you go to bed." Any serious diehard Catholic does that automatically. You don't have to remind them. And you certainly don't have to proceed to quote the opening line. That's what Muhammad Atta supposedly did in his motivation letter. Of course, none of this matters because Muhammad Atta is not dead, or at least he wasn't dead as of a few weeks after 9/11 when he was interviewed by, the London Guardian. Oh, no, well, he wasn't interviewed. His father was. His father said that his son is alive and well. He called him, told him he's okay, that he was framed, blah, blah, blah. And we'll try to get in touch with him when he can from time to time, but he's going to stay in hiding at least for a while because he's afraid that, U.S. intelligence is going to try to kill him. Haven't heard any more from him, so I would imagine they probably did kill him by now. The same kind of shenanigans, guys, going on with this fiasco that we've seen with so many others in the past. A frickin' handwritten, I wonder if he used crayon like Atta did. I believe Atta wrote his letter in crayon, if I remember right. Jesus. Anyway. I mean, can it get any more ridiculous than this? I don't even need to go on. Already, this story is so full of crap, it's unfreaking believable. Who the hell is buying this? Unfortunately, probably a hell of a lot of people, just like with all these other fake attacks. The attack took place, we're told, just several blocks north of the National September 11th Monument and museum site. Isn't that interesting? Naturally. Anyway, let's pull this one apart even further, shall we? Problems galore, as always. Name of the attacker. Here we go. I love this one. Saifullah, however the hell you pronounce that. Saipov. Initials SS, by the way. Isn't that interesting? Saifullah, Saipov is SS. Yeah, they got to get that Nazi thing in there one way or another, don't they? But nevertheless, guys, look at the first name specifically. I tried to pull the last name apart. I'm not sure if anybody has any insight. If you think there's some hidden coded thing in there, or maybe it's a scrambling of another word. I didn't spend too much time on it. But the first name did catch my attention, because if you look at the spelling, it's S-A-Y-F-U-L-L-O. You could easily interpret that as say full of. Say full of. Say full of what? Say full of. So I was trying to come up with something for SIPO, if that had some secret meaning or something. You know, does SIPO mean crap in some foreign language? That would make sense, wouldn't it? Say full of crap. Yeah, wouldn't that figure? That calls to mind, again, harkening back to 9/11. Just after 9/11, the FBI put up a website where people could go and rat on their neighbors if they suspected them being involved in suspicious activities. And the website was skyfall/FBI.gov. Or, you know, Skyfall. They always do this crap. They use names that have obvious connotations to show you that they're yanking you, yanking your chain. They do it right in your face, and they must laugh later when they're sitting around the little boardroom tables, you know, puffing on their cigars. This name has got to be fake, guys. I'm not buying it. Say Fullo. Yeah, okay. That's his real name, all right. Anyway. Let's see. The truck that he drove, by the way, is said to have brandished a paintball gun and a BB gun, or a, you know, a little pellet gun. That is what, in fact, he ran away with after he fled the vehicle. Now, does this make any freaking sense? Think about it. If you're a radical, fanatical Muslim terrorist, right? You want to attack the great Satan. And if you were hired by ISIL to do this, and ISIL was a legitimate, actual Arab-run, you know, Muslim-run terrorist group, whatever, blah, 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 blah. We're just playing make-believe here, okay? So ISIL, let's pretend, is a real terrorist Muslim organization, and they really did hire this guy to carry out this real attack. Do you really think? Holy Jesus, H, do you really think they're going to have him simply target a few bicyclists, only taking out 8 people, we're told, with a freaking truck rented from a freaking Home Depot? Are you fucking kidding me? And that they're going to have him armed with a with a paint gun and a pellet gun. And then we're told that he deliberately hit the bus. It's not like the bus just happened to pull out in front of him and he slammed into it. He swerved deliberately to hit it, we're told. So, you know, what the hell's up with that? Why would he do that? He hit it so damn hard, you got to wonder why he didn't even get knocked unconscious and go through the frickin' windshield. But nevertheless, you know, maybe he's a safe driver and he had his seatbelt on. But why? For what purpose? What did that accomplish? Nobody got injured in the school bus. Apparently was filled with kids. Was he trying to kill a bunch of kids too? No, that didn't happen. And are Muslims, fanatic or otherwise, really concerned about killing innocent people, especially innocent kids? As fanatical as they might be, and as much as they want to destroy the great Satan, they're not interested in killing innocent civilians, ladies and gentlemen. They know they're not the problem. It's like with 9/11. That was a real attack, folks, and it was meticulously planned out way in advance. They would have hit the other side of the Pentagon now, wouldn't they? If they could have even done that, you know. It's not even physically possible. But nevertheless, they wouldn't have hit the other side where there were no significant staff and where renovations had recently been done on that section of the building to prevent fires from spreading to other more important parts of the building in case it was ever hit by a missile or a bomb went off. They also would have hit, you know, maybe the White House or the Capitol building. God. And they wouldn't have hit the Twin Towers either. Do remember, at the time of 9/11, the Twin Towers didn't even have scarcely half of their office space rented out. And even if it was all rented out, that's not the economic epicenter of the country, ladies and gentlemen. Wall Street is. How about the New York Stock Exchange? That is something that a fanatic Muslim terrorist group would want to target. God's sakes. America, you really, really need to get your head out of your hind parts. Anyway. I mean, these things are just getting crazier and crazier all the time. This one might very well be the Vegas shooting as far as just ridiculous scenarios. I don't know, though. That's a pretty competitive one. Maybe it's just a tie. Who knows? But how ridiculous. And then, of course, if you look at pictures of this truck, it's got the number 19 on the back. 19. I'm surprised it wasn't 119 or 911 or 191. But nevertheless, a 1 and a 9. They had to get that in there. The mugshot of this guy, as I mentioned, guys, I'm sorry, doesn't look like an Arab to me at all. Take a good look at him. There's some profile pictures of him, too. Look at that nose. I'm sorry, not buying it. Anyway. Let's see. Deadly paintball gun and frickin' pellet gun, though. You gotta love it. What the hell would you be doing bringing crap like that on a supposed terrorist attack? Think about it. Why the hell would you bring... Anyway, gotta break up the answer for a good bet.
Repeat.
Jews are poor. The government and media are anti-Semitic.
Hola! You've just heard Chosen, one of the oldest languages known to ape. Try another. Mayenta is fat, ugly, and Sephardi.
My wife is beautiful, intelligent, and spiritual.
Good job! We have Chosen learning pods in synagogues, lodges, even selected pizza restaurants. Learn Chosen and stay ahead.
Vaccines are safe. The Holocaust was real.
So fluent, so chosen. Fees, obligations, and genital mutilation apply.
All right, guys. Anyway, once again, you know, is this the best that ISIL can do? Really? You're going to, you know, spend all the time and effort planning something like this, funding something like this, and then have him show up with a friggin' paint gun? I mean, what the hell function could a paint gun and a pellet gun possibly serve in a terrorist attack? He's not going to kill anybody with it. That's not even going to frighten anybody. People are going to laugh at him if he aimed it at him. You know, if he wanted to commit suicide, well, you know, you can't commit suicide with that. What the hell are you going to do, poke an eye out or something? That's the best you're going to do with a pellet gun. Holy mother of Jesus H. Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know. America, if you buy this one, if you think this thing has any legitimacy to it, you got some serious freaking brain damage, man. By the way, speaking of brain damage, before I continue, I got to mention this. Take warning. If you have any senior relatives or know any senior neighbors or friends or whatever who are sickly and are due to be hospitalized soon, or if they have to go to, you know, a rehab center for some reason, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Watch them very carefully. Monitor everything that goes on in the hospital, nursing home, rehab center, whatever the case. Make sure you let them know, you let the staff know that you're watching them. Ask really obnoxious probing questions. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Make sure you pay specific close attention to the medications that they're giving them, if they're getting medications. I hope not, but, you know, in your senior years, sometimes it's pretty hard to avoid, some degree anyway, avoid medications. But make damn sure that you have them show you. You know, they push around those carts that have the little computer monitors on them where they log everything. Make sure they pull up patient's page. You know, if you're not related to them, that's not so easy to do. But, you know, find somebody who is related. Hopefully give them an education and have them ask, but make sure that you're following up on all the medications that they're getting. Look through the list, write everything down. Make sure it's something that they're known to be taking, supposed to be taking. Make sure they're not adding anything to that list, because they do it all the time, folks. And you know what one particular thing is you've got to watch out for? They don't ask permission. Certainly of the patient, almost never, unless, you know, usually the patient, they figure, oh, they're ailing and they're not able to make decisions for themselves. So they'll take it upon themselves, especially if they know they don't have family. But a lot of times, even if there is family, they figure, oh, the family doesn't know. So they'll leave it up to us because they think we know what's best. Don't leave it up to them. And even if you look at the list and you see there isn't anything suspicious, make sure you tell them, if any decisions are made to administer any new medication, I want to know about it first before any medication is given. Threaten lawsuits if they don't comply. Get really aggressive with them, folks, because let me tell you what's been going on. My girlfriend's mother has been in a rehab center. Supposed to be released Friday. I hope the hell she survives to get out of there. You know, don't get me wrong, most of the nurses in there are very nice. I don't think, you know, the majority of them mean any harm. But they don't need to, because all they have to do is follow orders, and that's clearly what goes on. It's just like, you know, the police. There's a lot of scumbag police, but there's also a lot of decent ones. And the decent ones don't need to know what's going on. Very often they don't know what's going on. In fact, if they're decent, they don't know what's going on. Definitely don't. But they don't need to know. All they have to do is follow orders, and that's what they do. In following orders, they're advancing an agenda that's very often antithetical, even to their own interest or to their own conscience, you know. But they don't know better because they're just following orders. That's what they're supposed to do, right? That's what they think is. Anyway, So, you know, my indictment here is not against individual nurses. No, no, no. A lot of them are, you know, really nice and do care. But when they're just told to follow orders and that's all they know how to do, they can be administering medications without even knowing, because the orders come from the central office on high. And very often those medications are actually killing the patients. Oh, I could tell you some stories. I think I have in the past. I've told you some nightmarish stories. Anyway, you know, things that I've encountered over the years. But here's another one to add to the collection. So initially she was in there because, you know, she had to have surgery a couple weeks ago. And because of that, she was in, you know, a hospital bed for over a week. And so what happens, you know, when you're in your 90s, your muscles atrophy pretty quick. And so now you become weak, right? So they had to send her to rehab to get her strength back so she can, you know, get back on her feet and be sent home. Anyway, in the process of that, one morning we went over to visit her. She was fine the night before, sitting up, talking, laughing, you know, blah, blah, blah. We go in the next morning and I'm thinking, oh my God, what the hell happened here? She's talking just complete gibberish, total nonsense. She sounded like she was lit up, like she had, you know, drank a fifth of Jack Daniels or something. I don't know. Anyway, we're totally set back by this. I see there's a caller. Just hold on one second, caller. So, you know, we're just blown away. How the hell did this happen so fast like this, you know? Anyway, we didn't think too much until a little while later a nurse comes in and she's asking questions. We're telling her, you know, that she, look at, she's lethargic. She was even hallucinating, too. She's seeing things, right? Things that aren't there. What's that over there? We're like, what? Oh, is that someone standing there? I'm like, there's nothing there. It's a blank wall. She's literally seeing things. So the nurse comes in. We're talking to her. And she says, does she have a history of dementia? We're like, no, never. She's never acted like this, talked like this, you know. Anyway, my girlfriend's sister came in a little while later. I should have thought of this, too. But anyway, the first thing she said was, I'm going to look into what kind of meds she's getting. Sure enough, son of a frickin', they were giving her a psychotropic medication, Seroquel. Now, that's not the only one. There's several other ones that do the same thing. She looked it up on her phone, and sure enough, guys, the side effects of Seroquel are exactly what we were seeing. Hallucinations, slurred speech, incoherency, you know, just everything across the board. She said, we do not want her to get this medication. She asked, why is she even getting it? Oh, it's to calm her down. She says, what do you mean calm her down? Has she been hyper? Well, no, but the doctor thought it would be a good idea to help her to sleep better. Oh, get the hell out of here. I don't want her getting it. These symptoms she's having are from the medication. Guess what happened the next day, guys? We went in. She was acting even worse than the day before. Her sister went back and asked what was going on. She wanted to see the list of medications. You know what they did? Now, these nurses didn't know because this was a different shift and different nurses, right? The orders came from on high. They doubled the dose. They not only didn't take her off the damn crap, they doubled the dose. Oh, my God. So I started looking up on, you know, different websites and, you know, just like different blog sites where people around the country have been posting that this drug and other similar drugs, oh, that, you know, had been given without their knowledge, without their permission, and the same thing, double dosing when they were told not to. Oh, I saw people talking about their mothers, their fathers, their uncles, their aunts. They were doing fine until this drug was given to them, and then they started going right downhill. How many times do you bet senior citizens have been killed being given drugs like this, folks? Anyway, just one more point I want to make about this. I started thinking about it. Where have I heard of this drug before? Seroquel, son of a gun that it hit me. They did the same thing with my mother last year, folks. That's the freaking drug they were giving her. She was hallucinating. She was talking, you know, gibberish. We asked them to discontinue the drug because we saw that, yeah, absolutely. This thing, you know, was the reason why. She wasn't acting like that before the drug. You know what they did? The next day we found out she was even worse. They doubled the dose. They did the same thing. This must be going on all the freaking time. This was a different hospital, like, you know, 30 somewhat miles away. They were doing the same thing in these two different hospitals. And now this third facility, it's a rehab center in the same town as one of the other hospitals I was just talking about. But still, these are three different facilities doing the same damn thing, folks. Same damn thing. So watch out. If you're a senior, or if you know a senior or related to a senior who's due to go into the hospital or rehab center, whatever. Watch very carefully and make sure you tell them no psychotropic drugs. If they should wake up in the middle of the night and they're crying or screaming out loud because they're having a nightmare or something, that's usually one of the reasons why they give them this stuff. Tell them to call you, wake you up in the middle of the night, and you go over there and comfort them and calm them down. No psychotropics. If nothing else, that will kill them right there. And I'll tell you, that's the agenda. At the highest levels, that's what's going on. Don't blame the nurses, for the most part anyway. They're not into that. They don't even know what's going on, nor do they need to know. All they got to do is follow orders, and that's what they do. Anyway, we got a caller on the line. Welcome to the show, caller. Maybe not. Probably just calling in to listen, I guess. Anyway, I just had to get off on that tangent because that just happened the other day. Unbelievable. So now, my girlfriend, her sister, every single day when they go in, they're checking, double checking. They're making it known to them that they're watching their every move. Now her mind is sharp as a frickin' tack. You go in there, she's sitting up. Her face is now flushed now. Before it was pale and withdrawn, and her eyes were sunken in. She looked like death warmed over. Now she's full of life, vim and vigor, joking, and, just totally alert. They were killing her, guys. And then the head nurse, I'm sorry, but I she can't be that stupid to have asked, has she ever had any problems with dementia? Are you freaking kidding me? You know the symptoms of these meds. And after the meds are administered, you see her acting this way? I mean, you have the audacity to ask a question like that? Wow, man. Anyway, back to our Halloween terror attack. One witness that was interviewed, and then shown on TV was a middle-aged woman, long brunette hair with glasses. One YouTuber said that he has seen this woman before, that she's a known actress. I don't know. He couldn't think of her name, and she didn't look familiar to me, but wouldn't surprise me. Anyway, I'm sure they're all actors and actresses, but nevertheless, they're interviewing her, and once again, folks, this is shortly after the incident had occurred. I would guess no more than maybe half hour or so after the incident. And she's totally calm. She looks like she just woke up from a nice, peaceful nap. She's not the least bit stressed. Her voice isn't shaky. She doesn't show signs of having cried recently. She's certainly not crying during the interview or showing any signs of emotion at all. Sadness or stress or fatigue. Nothing. You're going to tell me this woman just witnessed 11 people getting crushed to death, blood and guts all over the place, and she's not the least bit upset or traumatized. Totally calm. Again, no sign of being upset. BS, man. BS. Another witness, his name is Christian Wagner. Yeah, whatever. Looks like a tribe member, by the way. Especially in the nozzle area. He described what he allegedly saw in a very related manner. Again, he looks very calm, not the least bit distressed at all. He didn't seem astonished or shocked or saddened or nothing. Totally calm, totally at ease. One picture shown in the news depicted two crushed bicycles on the street or on the bike path or whatever. Guys, I'm sorry, but there's some big problems here too. Why is it the bikes look like they were definitely run over by a car or, you know, a truck or whatever? But why is it that you don't see any blood anywhere around? Now, you could say, you know, I wonder why you didn't see any bodies too, but you could say, well, they probably removed the bodies by the time the pictures were taken. Okay, fine, they removed the bodies, but how come there's no blood? You might say, oh, well, they must have moved the bikes. No, because they're still in the middle of the freaking path. You know, how come they didn't remove if the bikes were removed, they would have been tossed off to the side in the grass somewhere or something, right? But, okay, we'll give them that. Maybe they moved the bikes out of the way. But why was there no blood on the bikes? If not on the street in puddles, you would have at least seen blood, you know, splattered on the bikes. No, nope, nope, no blood. No signs of, you know, it just looks like somebody tossed two bikes on the path and then had a truck come by and run them over. That's it. No indication that there were people on those bikes. Guys, if people were killed riding those bikes, and that's certainly the impression we're supposed to get, there'd be blood all over the place. The bikes would be splattered everywhere. So yeah, if you've seen this picture, you know what I'm talking about. It's just absolute BS. Not buying it. Another witness, Elizabeth, here's an interesting name. Chernobyleski. I kid you not. Chernobyleski. Chernobyl, as in, you know. Guys, they make these names up, man. I'm telling you, just to frig with you. It's like, yeah, hey, let's see now. Let's stick in the name of another fake disaster that we staged years ago. Yeah, Chernobyleski. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Unbelievable. Anyway, obviously a tribe member with a tribe member with a name like that. She also talked very calmly. All of these witnesses talked very calmly. For one who, again, had supposedly just witnessed eight people, you know, being crushed to death, and another 11 being seriously injured. She didn't fake a crying routine or anything. No signs that she had been crying previously. Nothing. Nothing. There's one scene. I love this one. Another classic symptom that you would expect from a fake attack, like we've seen with so many other fake attacks. Smiling standbyers, whatever. These standbyers are not just citizens, though. One is actually one of the injured. It's an Asian guy. He's in a stretcher being loaded onto an ambulance. He's smiling, and so is one of the eight, what do you call it, EMTs, and I think the other one, I think he's an officer, too. So there's a cop, an EMT, and an Asian guy in a stretcher. All three are laughing. No, not buying it. Guys, when you are in an extremely stressful situation like that, it's not even possible to smile or laugh. And even if it was, even if somehow you were able to muster up a chuckle, you're going to restrain yourself. Even if someone tells you a funny joke, you're going to be offended. Or if they say something funny, you're going to be offended. This isn't the time for humor, right? And you're going to restrain yourself from wanting to smile because it's an insult to those around you that are suffering. It's just not something you do at a time like that. I mean, you know, you just don't do it. When you go to a funeral, are you smiling and shaking people's hands? Oh, hey, how's it going? Want to go for a beer later? And hey, I got to tell you the latest joke I heard. You're going to love this one. You just don't do it, right? But this isn't a funeral. This is far worse. This is a death scene, supposedly, you know, a massive death scene. You don't smile at something like that. And yet all three of them, and I'm not just talking a grin. It's ear to ear, baby. They're showing all their pearly whites. Not buying it. Anyway. Let's see. But, you know, of all people, the injured guy, I mean, you really think he's going to be smiling? If he's supposed to be seriously injured, and he would have had to have been, right? You'd expect at least a broken leg, broken arm, something. And he's smiling? Hey, let me tell you, I've been in some accidents in the past, and you're not going to be smiling. You're not going to be smiling, baby. You're going to be so nervous, almost at the point of passing out. You're going to be lightheaded. I remember when I had some wretch pull in front of me once. I was on my bike. I was actually on the sidewalk. I wasn't even on the street. She pulled in front of me thinking that she could, you know, rush into this parking lot before I came on to her. Guys, I almost hit her. If I didn't slam my brakes on, I would have slammed right into her. So luckily I didn't hit her car, but I was at an incline. And so, the bike being top heavy, I went up over the handlebars. The bike flipped over. I came slamming down, broke my clavicle. And I didn't even realize at first what happened. I was so, traumatized. I did hit my head like a dummy. I didn't have a helmet at the time. But anyway, my point is, once I looked over and I saw my shoulder bulging out, I knew something wasn't right. I wasn't even in pain yet because I was just in shock. And I guess, the pain didn't even hit me yet. But I just remember looking over. And when I saw that bulge in my shoulder, I just went pale. I felt like I was going to pass out. I got really lightheaded. I started sweating profusely. So, my point is, in an emergency crisis like that, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be laughing. And here's this guy who went through an injury, at least as bad as what I had gone through. He's not stressed. He's laughing, guys. I'm sorry. It's not possible. Anyway, we got a caller on the line. Are you there, caller?
Charlie?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Oh, hi. Oh, this is Urban. Sorry to interrupt your show. You're on a roll with this, but I wanted to talk about your girlfriend's mother, and I wanted to tell you too that another thing that they do, and you have to tell them immediately when someone is admitted to the hospital, not to give them flu shots or any kind of vaccines, because they do that right away. And I'm going to tell you a horror story. I've never talked about this before, but in 2008, my mother went to the hospital because she had a little nick on the side of her nose that that bled more than, well, alarmed her anyway. So she called the paramedics. She called them twice in the middle of the night. I never get sick, but that particular period of time I had a bit of a flu or something. And at any rate, she ended up in the hospital, and they admitted her because she had a very slight elevated temperature. And she was in for, when I got there the next day, she was lying sideways in her bed, fire engine red, completely delirious. And it's called hospital-induced dementia. It's yeah. From the drugs that they give them. And I forget all of the drugs. This is almost 10 years ago. But at any rate, I totally flipped out. Well, I mean, at the same time, she was developing pneumonia as a result of the reaction to these drugs. And so I had her transferred to another hospital, and she was there for maybe 6 hours, 8 hours, I don't know, something. But this was a hospital that was far away. I had to come home. When I got home and went to bed, before I got home, she got worse, and they intubated her. And that's when they put tubes in through your I think it's your veins. I forget whether it's your veins or your arteries, but I think it's your veins.
Yeah.
And instead of them putting the tubes into her veins, they put it into her artery in her leg. I got a call at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they had to amputate her leg.
Oh, man.
They called back an hour later and said that they had to amputate both legs. And I, you know, I just basically had to say, you know, we're done. I mean, this happened very fast, and but it was a horrible, horrible thing. And I ultimately sued that hospital, and at any rate, but
you know, another thing they're doing too, now that we're back on this subject, a lot of seniors,
stuff,
you know,
very important stuff. People have to know that when people that you love, especially older people, if they go into a hospital, you have to be with them every minute. You have to be there every minute.
You do?
And you've got, if you can't be there, you've got to have somebody to back you up. If they go into a rehab, you've got to be there every goddamn minute. You can't leave people alone with these people. Words fail me when it comes to the goddamn medical profession in this country. I get so angry that...
Oh, yeah, I hear you. And if it isn't the meds, it's things like this. A lot of seniors develop swelling in their legs, right? It's buildup of fluid and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll either give you a medication that can actually dehydrate that fluid out and cause you to urinate it out. But in the process, you know, it can cause kidney and liver damage, right? So if it isn't that, another thing they do is they'll wrap these tight wraps or these special socks that are you know, are really tight around your legs.
Compression socks, yeah.
Right, yeah, there you go. To push the fluid out. But what that does very often is it just pushes it up into the lungs and causes pneumonia.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man.
And so we're getting older. I mean, I'm getting older, and we're all getting older, and our parents are all getting older, and things like that, and you cannot entrust the people that you love or you care about.
Urban, hold on, we got a break.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Rushkoff on why Jews are dangerous.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real. And that's very upsetting to people.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Guys, welcome back. We've got Urban on the line here. Yeah, you know, Urban, in the case with my mother, you know, she was pretty ill, very sick. And she probably wasn't going to live that much longer anyway, but it doesn't matter. Even if it's only a day before the time she would have died, when they do stuff like this, it's still murder.
It really is, Charlie, and it's sanctioned by the insurance industries. I mean, in my mother's case, she contracted hospital-induced dementia, and these are specific terms, and also hospital-induced pneumonia, and which resulted in her death. And my mother was not particularly ill. She had some issues, but we were addressing those, and she would have been fine.
Do you remember the story? I told it before. I used to go to school with a nursing major. This was back in 2000. So they've been doing this a while now. She told a horror story. She wound up quitting her nursing major. She dropped it. She quit the whole nursing business. She just gave it up. It was her life dream. But she said, I can't do it anymore for conscience sake. She says, I just can't. She witnessed twice. The first time she brushed it off and thought, no, she just ignored it. That can't be. I can't. When she saw it the second time, she realized, now this is not some freak thing. I'm not imagining things. This is really happening. They were overdosing seniors on her wing that were ailing, and they figured, they'll be dead soon anyway. And rather than try to nurse them back to health, it was too much money, and they didn't have good insurance, whatever. You know what I mean? So they were overdosing them with morphine. She said it was enough that would kill a young, healthy adult, never mind an ailing senior. When she voiced concern over it, they told her to drop it or get out of the program.
Yeah, it's all insurance mandated, Charlie. And I just feel like I have so many horror stories, particularly in the last 15 years or so. And that's why I had to call your show, because while you're dealing with an issue right now with your girlfriend's mom, and you can't drop the ball anywhere. You can't, and you just have to be there. And if they have to go into rehab, that's one thing. But if they really don't, if they could recuperate at home, bring them home. Don't let them stay in those places. Even if you can get there every day and spend some hours, you're not there all the time. So, I mean, we're in a hell of a mess on so many levels. And
here's another thing, too. I noticed I was watching the food that they were bringing her. If it isn't the meds or bad suggestions or the roughness, too, they're very gruff when they move you. They just pick you up like a flipping paper doll and toss you aside. They did that with my mother, too. Here she was. She had osteoporosis, very, very delicate back, right? And they just pick her up and dropped her. I could just feel the pain when she let out they wouldn't handle their mother that way. Exactly. But, if it isn't that stuff, it's the freaking food. These are ailing seniors that are coming there, and they're giving them stuff that's loaded with salt and sugar and just it's all, processed and canned crap.
It's all garbage. And you know, blood pressure cuffs, they'll put the blood pressure cuffs on so tight that they'll end up with edemas or you know,
yeah,
contusions all over their arms that run the whole length of their arms.
And they're not careful if they have to do an IV or something. You know, they'll jab you half a dozen times so your arm is black and blue all up and down, and that hurts too.
I call them temples of doom, Charlie, and that's a well-deserved title for hospitals, especially hospitals. Stay away. Don't go. Keep your people out of them if you can. I mean, I just, that's really what I wanted to add to your show. I didn't mean to take you too off track, but you're dealing with this. So, you know, and especially the goddamn flu shots, they'll hit them as soon as they get them. They'll get them a flu shot. I mean, they just will. So you have to tell them right up front. I mean, as soon as there's an admission done, that you are not authorizing any flu shots or any vaccines of any kind. They just do it. They don't ask. They don't tell you. They'll tell you maybe after the fact. But they gave it to my mother after she already had hospital-induced pneumonia. They gave her a flu shot on top of it. I mean, holy Christ. So,
and you know, when they give these meds, right, it makes you so incoherent, then they figure, oh, well, when they know you don't have family or family that isn't showing that much concern, you're at their mercy now. They can do whatever they want to you because you're not conscious enough to even know or care or protest.
Absolutely. If you don't have anyone, if you don't have an advocate for you and you end up in a hospital all by yourself, you are totally screwed. You're done. You're going to be done. And that's just how it works, and it's a real sad state of affairs. And you know, I don't think we can talk about it enough. And you know, the whole health, the medical profession in this country, it's a diabolical, goddamn, demon possessed, I don't know, from hell kind of thing.
And anybody listening, if you think we're exaggerating, it's because you haven't experienced this yet. You know, but. Take it to heart what we're saying, because it's no exaggeration. This is what's going on.
Oh man, I mean it started when I was in my 50s, and you know, as people my people were getting older, and really just, I mean, I can tell you one nightmare after another. My mother was particularly a bad situation, but anyway, so good luck, Charlie, with your girlfriend's mom, and I hope everything goes well, but I just wanted to let you know, kind of, I never told the story about my mother before. Really, even though it's almost 10 years later, I still get so goddamn angry when I talk about it. My teeth clench. So, anyway, Charlie, thanks, and good show, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Very, very important stuff. Once again, I'll have to do shows on this in the future. It's just, take it serious. Take it serious, folks. You know, any seniors, or for that matter, if you wind up in a hospital or rehab, or, you know, you don't even have to be a senior. I mean, they do it with you know, other, but seniors are most susceptible to these kind of drugs. They're frail. Their minds are not as strong, you know, and it's so much easier to justify them hallucinating and seeing things, talking incoherently, because they can say, oh, well, you know, they are 80 or, well, you know, 90 years old, whatever. And who's going to question that? I myself was starting to think, oh, the poor thing, she's really going downhill. It didn't even dawn on me. Oh, keep yourself alert and awake and always assume the worst. Because that's usually what's happening, especially in these places. What did Urban call it? Hall of Doom or whatever it is. These places, hospitals, folks, are death traps. They really are. And again, this is not an indictment against the nurses. Probably, I would hope, not the bulk of the nurses. I would hope that most of them are actually decent people who care. But it doesn't matter. All the compassion in the world isn't going to change a thing, because they, like most police, they just follow orders. And a lot of them, they have no idea of the sinister motives that are going on at the highest levels. They think that these shots or pills that they're administering are in the best interest of the patient. They don't know. Anyway. We have another caller, but he's just calling to listen. All right. Let's finish up these notes here on yesterday's fake attack, and then we can get on to some other important issues. Anyway, where did I leave off here? Another witness, Eugene Duffy, said that he saw two men lying on the bike path with tire tracks, he said, across their bodies. First of all, that doesn't add up, does that? I'm not buying that. You're not going to see tire tracks, even if they were completely run over. You're not going to see tire tracks. You're going to see blood or various wounds to show that they suffered some tremendous injuries. But you're not tire tracks, really? Unless these tires were freshly painted, you would see tire tracks going over the person. But I'm sorry, guys. Or, if the guy was skidding when he ran over them, you might see a little rubber that rubbed off on their clothing or something. But tire tracks. Interestingly enough, there's a picture showing two people lying on the bike path. Probably some dummies they brought in or whatever. But nevertheless, there's no tire tracks to be seen on these bodies. Generally, what happens in cases like this, if the guy did in fact hit people and was going really fast, what happens is, did you ever hit a deer? Then you know what I'm talking about. You're not going to run the person over. The impact is going to cause them to go flying up in the air, either off to the side or up over to the back of the truck. You're not going to run them over unless they're already lying on the ground. And especially is that the case if they're on bicycles. They, along with the bike, are going to go flying up in the air or kicked off to the side. Saw tire tracks on their bodies. Oh, give me a break. Anyway, then he went on to make this comment. Mr. Duffy. Stuffy Duffy said, I'm looking to see if anybody, he said he was walking around, looking to see if anybody else was injured. Maybe someone needs help. For some reason, I went back that way. I don't know why. Did you just catch that? First, he says, I went walking around looking to see if anybody needed some help, And then he says, I went that way and I don't know why. Well, which is it? You say you went a certain direction looking to see if someone needed help, and then you say, I went that way and I don't know why. This guy doesn't know what the hell he's saying. He wasn't given a script sheet, or if he was, he didn't memorize it very good. Apparently, he's just making this stuff up as he goes along. And again, keep in mind, he's not nervous. He's talking very calmly. So you can't say, well, he was just nervous. He didn't know what he was saying. No. He's too calm for someone who supposedly just witnessed a very traumatic event. You can't be calm, folks. I'm sorry. Especially moments after the incident. Even a couple hours later, you're not going to be calm. You're still going to be a nervous freaking wreck. And yet, here he is talking very calmly and screwing up his lines. Making it up as he goes along. He also said that he heard multiple gunshots. Now, that's interesting because remember, our little terrorist friend here wasn't carrying a real gun. He must not have been clued in yet as to the scenario that was being voiced over the media. So he probably heard that the guy had a gun, thinking it was an actual gun, and so he made the story up that he heard gunshots and excuse me, it wasn't the police, because apparently they only shot one shot when they chased him down and then shot him in the abdomen. By the way, why would they shoot him in the abdomen when A, he was already on the ground, and B, they could see that all he was touting was a pellet gun and a paint gun, which by that time he probably dropped anyway because he was wrestled to the ground. So he wasn't a threat to them at that point. Why did they feel the need to even shoot him? If you even believe this story. Are we to assume this Duffy guy doesn't know the difference between a real gun shooting and a pellet gun? Are we supposed to assume that what he heard was a pellet gun being fired? Even the mainstream media didn't report any gunshots being fired by this guy. As far as I know, the only shot fired, again, was just that one in the abdomen. But, again, what did he think he was going to be pulling off going to a terrorist attack event with just a freaking BB gun and a... What did he think he was going to accomplish? What was his aim in bringing those things at all? Did he think he was going to fool people? Did he think he was going to fool the cops? Drop your weapons, police officers, or I'll shoot this innocent civilian with my paint gun. It's nuts! At least bring a plastic lookalike gun. There was a guy up the street from me a couple of years back who held up a store around the corner from me, a convenience store, with such a gun. It was fake, it was just a lookalike thing. It didn't help him much, though, when they finally caught up with him. A week later, a neighbor reading about the story and heard that he ran up her street in that direction, remembers seeing a guy at that same time run up her street, and she saw where he went. She knew who he was, new in the neighborhood, but she had seen him before. And so she called the police, and sure enough, when they went there, they found everything, the mask he wore, because they caught him on, the cameras. They found the mask in his drawer and the friggin' fake gun, everything. He still had it, right? What a dumb idiot. Anyway, my point is, at least he had a convincing-looking mock gun, This guy didn't even have that. He might as well bought a freaking squirt gun. I don't know. It's just so over the top. So freaking over the top. ISIL took credit for this? You think that they would laugh at how ridiculous this was and say, oh, we don't want credit for that. That's insane. Of course, we know who ISIS is. But nevertheless, guys, for those who buy the story, didn't it ever dawn on you that a real Muslim terrorist group would not want to take credit for something so incredibly freaking juvenile like that? I mean, you have to be devoid of functioning neurons between your ears if you buy this. Of course, the same is true if you buy, the Vegas shooting or any of the other ones for that matter that have been going on for years on end. They're all full of crap. But this one here and the Vegas one, man, these rank up there at the very top as the worst, most bungling, nonsensically ridiculous scenarios. If you, in fact, buy these stories, I strongly recommend you get some help. Okay? There's just something not right with your neurons. They're not firing properly, or you've got some cross signals going on. Hopefully you can find a genuine neurologist who is actually concerned and is going to help you. But in either case, you got to get some help, okay? No truth to any of this crap. All right, with that said and done, let's get on to our next discussion here. Another set of notes that I just put together today. Only because I made reference to this last week, and I got several emails, saying, "Wow, what's going on? Are you kidding me?" So I figured I shouldn't have dropped a bomb like that when I mentioned Ken O'Keefe. I should have been prepared to elaborate on it right on the spot. But nevertheless, here it is. Here it is. Here's why I made that comment last week. There's just too many problems, folks, with this guy. Many of you was a fan of this guy. Of course, I didn't really know much about him. I just saw a few of his YouTube videos and read a few things about him. I knew about the incident with the flotilla. And so I thought, he's another truther. In fact, I planned eventually to see if I could get him on sometime. from what I could tell, the little I knew about him, you know, he seemed to be sincere, and he certainly gave a lot of good talks over the years, said a lot of good things, you know. But upon close inspection, guys, no, I don't buy it anymore. I don't trust the man. There's just something, not just something, there's a lot of things that just aren't right with this guy. So let's get into this. I mentioned it last week. And here it is. And by the way, this isn't even all-inclusive. There were some other avenues I could have pursued, but I thought, no. I just want to cover the basics, some of the bigger points. And from there, you know, if you want, you can look into it further. There is more to look into, believe me. But I just covered some of the highlights here. Let's look at some of the disturbing revelations with this guy. First of all, his real last name isn't even O'Keefe, by the way. It's Nichols. Ken Nichols, N-I-C-H-O-L-S, which all too often, guys, actually turns out to be a tribal name. I don't know if that's the case with him or not. But nevertheless, that's not his name. So why is he doing this? Not even an Irish name. He's pretending to be Irish. He also lives quite the voluptuous lifestyle. I personally don't care. Yeah, you know, if somebody's rich or not. But that does raise some flags, though, when you don't know what the source of his wealth is. You know, if he had rich parents or something and he inherited their money, oh, okay, well, that explains it. Or he once ran a big computer firm or something and now he's retired from it early and, you know, he's living off of that. Okay, that makes sense, you know, whatever. But there's not a hell of a lot to go on to explain the voluptuous lifestyle that he's living. Well, actually, there is, which we'll discover later, and that's what's all the more troubling. Upon close inspection, the apparent source of his income is very disturbing. But nevertheless, here he is, you know, traveling. He's a globetrotter. I mean, one minute he's in Europe, next minute he's in frickin' Hawaii, then he's in the Caribbean, then he's in the UK. He's got a house over there. You know, I mean, by the way, he claims the house doesn't belong to him, but it does. So he's lying. The house is in his name. It's a $700,000 house in the UK that he lies and says is not his. Oh, yes, it is. It absolutely is his. But anyway, let's see. So here we go. Ken has been talking for some time now about world citizenship. A group that he works with, in fact, called World Citizenship. I'll get to that later. I forget the exact name. World Citizenship Affiliation or something like that. But just the term world citizenship itself, guys, again, ought to make your hair stand on end. Now, I've seen videos where he's denying that that phrase has anything to do with, you know, the New World Order. But guys, sorry, it does. It has everything to do with it. That is one of the very terms that the, quote, globalists use all the time. World Brotherhood, that's the Freemasonic term. World citizenship or global citizen or, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. It's exactly what it means. And the point, the truth is, guys, if he didn't want it to have that kind of connotation, he wouldn't use a term like that. He'd make up something else completely different that wouldn't even remotely hint at the concept of the New World Order, right? You know, you don't have to go there. You can come up with something else. Let's talk about you know, united in truth. Why didn't he call it that? United in justice or whatever, you know? World citizenship. He can deny that it has anything to do with the New World Order all he wants. I'm sorry, especially when you start looking at some of the symbolism that he's used. You know, when he gives his talks, there's this friggin', you know, signs behind him that have very obvious occult symbols on them. His girlfriend, we'll get to that a little later, his girlfriend is heavily into the occult. Symbolism all over her website, all over her Facebook posts. Not just occult symbols, but it gets much worse than that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll get into that later. But she is absolutely scary. I wasn't even aware of her until just the past day or two. Mostly today when I really started working on this. I started putting some stuff together the other day, but I found out most of this stuff today. That thing is a horror show, man. Where the hell did he pick her up? Just having her for a girlfriend alone is very, very disturbing. What is he doing hooking up with someone like this? She's a fruit job. Half his age, by the way. And again, you know, that in and of itself, well, you can let it fly. I mean, you know, it happens. But I don't have a problem with a great age difference. What I have a problem with, though, is when she's obviously a friggin' slut on steroids. She's a tramp. She is. There's a video of her. It's all over the YouTube. You can see it for yourself. Where she's flaunting herself and kind of pulling apart her V-neck, you know, to show her cleavage, and she's puckering her lips up and making all these seductive eye movements, and I mean, it's just so freaking unbelievable. And so it's obvious she doesn't have any genuine interest in this guy. I'm sorry, folks. She is pretty. I hate to admit it, but she is pretty. What is a 25-year-old, young, pretty, you know, she's sexy, she is an attractive woman. What is a young woman like that, who could basically get any guy she wants, going to be doing with a guy who's almost 50 years old, you know, graying? I'm sorry. It's just, you know, I hate to say it because I'm in that age bracket myself, but... I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way. Young, attractive women, beautiful women are not interested in guys twice their age that are starting to lose that attractiveness. It's just, no. So that's why I have a problem with the age difference. It reeks of phoniness. And it is phony. I'm sorry. She doesn't care about him. You know, I don't think he cares about her either, except for the sex. So what does that say about him? Oh, boy, I'm getting ahead of myself, though. There's a lot more to cover. Drop right, guys. Be right back.
See the future of the issue of immigration developing now across the whole of the European continent based on what you're seeing there in Germany?
This is a very good point, because immigration is the future. You cannot work and live in a globalized world, in the middle of the world, in Europe, without immigration.
So there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, non-stop. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
We'll be right back.
right, guys. Here's another big problem. I think I mentioned this in passing last week, but he's been posting videos, or at least he has posted videos that are still up on YouTube, pushing Bitcoin, another tribal economic noose, Bitcoin, in association with people like Tobin Heath and a few others. He's got videos on YouTube pushing Bitcoin. That's great cause for concern right there. Max Egan, which I'm a big fan of Max Egan per se, but nevertheless, he's been making some interesting, or has made some interesting revelations about our good friend here, Mr. O'Keefe, or should I say Mr. Nichols. Egan has come forward and stated that O'Keefe is a, quote, fraud, stating that his world, that's what it is, World Citizenship Initiative, that it is nothing, he said, but a giant money-making scheme that was never intended to fulfill its stated mission. Well, you know, there's another problem with that, the stated mission, because several people who has formerly worked with him, with the, you know, the World Citizenship Initiative, have stated that he's actually never come forward and made any official public statement declaring what the mission is. He just has been asking for money again and again and again and again, but never stating what, you know, the money is going to be used for. He's had several, like, programs under that banner where he's promised people that, you know, he would give help to help them get out of the income tax system. You know, some of this money, he said, was going to be used to fight the IRS so that to create a law that could exempt people from paying income tax, or at least reduce their income tax, because they don't want their money being used for, you know, like war waging purposes, for example, you know, to advance agendas that are counter to their interests, or that, you know, they could be shown that their tax dollars are not going toward the Pentagon, but toward other, whatever. He was pushing, supposedly, but nothing has ever come out of it. By the way, why doesn't he push for getting rid of the income tax altogether, seeing how illegal it is? Nevertheless, other than that, he hasn't really stated what any of the bigger goals have been, just some of these sub-programs. But the big goals, you know, he's talking about making grand scale changes and basically taking on the whole new world order himself personally with the help of his donators, but no plan of action. He doesn't even have most of the people. In fact, if I understand correctly, everybody that was part of this thing is one by one walked out on him in frustration and disgust that he's not open with how the money's being spent. Well, there's our answer right there, folks, how the money's being spent, where the money's going, or you know, where he's getting all this money for his traveling. There it is. He's taking donations from, you know, truthers, from activists, and he's just lining his pockets, traveling the world, living the life of Riley. And some would say, well, no, how could he get away with that? Well, as we go along, you're going to see that he's getting away with it because apparently he's part of the problem. He's in with the system, guys. And we're going to be looking at some very powerful evidence of that in just a little while here. I don't even know if I'll get to it before the end of the show, but if not, tomorrow night. Anyway, this is very disturbing. One of the things that was discovered that he's been doing with his money is working to acquire properties in Dominica, where there are no extradition laws, so that if any legal action was ever brought against him, I'm sure the government wouldn't go after him, but if, you know, former donors found out that their donations were being used for him to buy properties in Dominica, they wouldn't be able to do anything about it because, you know, he couldn't be extradited to the U.S. to stand trial. Imagine that. Of all places, he's been seeking to buy property there, so that he wouldn't be liable in any, you know, court proceedings filed against him. Unreal. Interestingly, Ken's entire world citizenship team, here it is. They actually did walk out on him, according to several websites that I checked out researching this. After which the webmaster for this project's site, for the World Initiative, World Citizenship Initiative thing, posted several negative comments from, disgruntled former workers. Here's one such comment. One person wrote, "As far as I am aware, Ken has never showed any transparency regarding how the donations have been spent. Never showed any transparency." He's always, kept it under wraps because he's pocketing the freaking money, obviously. How else can you explain him traveling the way he does, living high off the hog? He's been criticized as being really tight with money. Well, yeah, of course. He wants to keep as much for himself. So what little he does spend on different budgets that he's been involved with, for seeming legitimate functions, he's been squeaking out a minimal amount for that so he can keep the maximum amount for himself. Anyway, the quote goes on, "I understand many people involved have still not been paid what they are owed, and Ken has showed reluctance to release funds." So, there's been times where he's promised people that he's going to pay them. I don't think it's actual wages, because most of the people that have worked with him have been volunteer workers. But he's promised to reimburse them for their own costs, because they pay for airplane flights and food expenses while they're working. So, he's made promises to reimburse them, but he has not been coming forth with those promises. One guy said he lost $2,900. He says, I'm not the kind of person that has that kind of money to just throw away. He said, I was hoping to get reimbursed. I didn't mind volunteering myself, but he says, he's out $2,900. He's not paying back like he promised. Anyway, the quote goes on, "To this day, I have seen no evidence that Ken has the solutions that he has been promising. To solve the problems of the world. He's got all these grandiose promises, asking all of these donations to help toward these goals that he alleges he has, never having laid them out specifically, and now he's not forthcoming with anything, not with any of the promised funds, reimbursement funds, and, of course, not coming forward with any plans. For years he's been doing this. In the meantime, he's not even posting stuff on his YouTube channel, or barely is anymore. He's blowing that off. He's just living the high life with his little trampy girlfriend." The quote ends by saying, "All I have seen is a focus on bringing in as much funding as possible." And unfortunately, people are just getting sucked in by this. They keep sending money. He keeps asking. Nothing is coming out of it except you see him globetrotting. That's what's coming out of it. The Gaza Can't Wait website had this post placed on it. Listen to this. "Ken has misappropriated a lot of money under false pretenses." This is the official Gaza Can't Wait website saying this. "Ken has misappropriated a lot of money under false pretenses, and he has done it many times before on at least 6 occasions that I can find." This is it has a blog site for people to post stuff. "He is completely blacklisted from ever entering Palestine again." Did you know that, folks? He's been blacklisted from going back to Palestine. I won't let him in. Why do you suppose that is? Because of the mishandling of funds. There's other reasons, too, that I'll get into later. But he went on, "especially Gaza." He's banned, especially from Gaza. "Friends in Gaza," he said, "have informed me that around $300,000 went missing from one of his missions for Gaza food." $300,000 went missing. Law isn't going to go after this guy. He's not going to be arrested for fraud, guys, because he's in on it. I mean, he's one of them. They're not going to go after him. That's his reward for helping them out, providing them a service. And he is providing them a service. We're going to get to that shortly. I'll get to it tonight, but between tonight and tomorrow, we're going to get to it. You're going to be amazed at some of the crap that this guy has pulled. He's a saboteur, ladies and gentlemen. He is. He's a saboteur of Palestinian relief efforts. He's not an assistant in that direction. He talks the talk, but he does not walk the walk. So I'm going to come out and say I don't even have suspicions about him anymore. I'm absolutely convinced he's a fraud. All of this evidence points in that direction. Isn't it sad? You know, you find someone like this that seems so sincere, and he certainly said a lot of things that we can clap and cheer about. I mean, you know, you could say that about Mr. Churchill, right? If you've ever read that quote from him from the London Sunday Herald, 1921, was it, or 1920? Great quote. But the man was full of crap. In fact, I never did get to broadcast those notes. I put those together earlier this year. I'll be doing that in coming, whatever, weeks, months. I put some extensive notes together on that SLB. What a scumbag. We're going to be covering him coming up. What a raging piece of horse crap. Churchill was scum, ladies and gentlemen. Pure. Far worse than you can imagine. I mean, I knew that he was a style pig for a while, but I had no idea it was this bad until I started really putting him in the microscope. Holy shit. Far, far, far worse than you could ever imagine. But there it is. He makes that totally 101% correct statement, praiseworthy statement in the London Sunday Herald, right? And so the intent was, you know, for people to think that he's on our side. He's a good guy. He's one of us, you know, the truth movement. No. The same, unfortunately, guys, with Mr. Henry Ford. Henry Ford made far more praiseworthy statements than Churchill ever did. Published article after article, which are very good. Even to this day, it's good to consult his work. He did some, you know, it's great. It's great stuff. But the man was a fraud. You know, I talked about him already in the past, gave my reasons. No question about it. The man was a raging frickin' fraud. That's how sad this whole frickin' mess is. Is, you know, that's how deceptive our little tribal friends are, guys. They've got something for everyone. For the more awake crowd, they just get shills that tell more truth. I mean, look at how Alex Jones has sucked so many people in over the years. He says a lot of things that are true. You only need to have, you know, 1% crap. You can have all the other 99%, although Alex certainly isn't 99% anymore, is he? He's starting to lean in the 99% crap direction and only 1% true. But nevertheless, this is the game they play, guys. When they know that you're more alert, well, they'll put their spinners out there that will speak your language, you know, maybe 60, 70, 80, maybe even 90% of the time, maybe even 99% of the time. And it's just that 1%. Well, they'll suck you in and take you overboard. That's all you need, guys. You know, to poison someone, if the poison is toxic enough, you only need to have one little drop, right, in the big bowl of soup. And so that's how it is with their shillers. You know, you don't have to have the whole thing poisoned. That's why you've got to constantly be vigilant, constantly on the alert. And not letting others do your thinking for you. You got to do your own thinking, your own digging, or else you're going to be somebody else's mental slave. And you know, that's sad, but that's how it's working with Jones now. So many people in the Jones crowd are praising Mr. Trump as their hero. Oh, my God, man, you got to be kidding me. Fortunately, and I'll be talking about Mr. Jones hopefully tomorrow night. I can finish these notes by then. But fortunately, a lot of people have finally caught on to Jones because of his shilling for Trump. That's forced them, you know, to realize this guy's a monkey. He's not the real deal. Anyway, Joanne Westcott, who used to work closely with O'Keefe, posted this on a blog. She said, Ken uses activists and influential people to rise on his money mountain. Yep. There's another person who's made that same observation. People who trust this guy, and I was one of them until recently, are those who have never looked at him closely. I never looked at him closely. That's why I thought he was the real deal. You know, I just listened to a few of his talks. They sounded good, right? But that's not enough. You gotta look a little closer. In June of 2010, O'Keefe was on board, you know, the famous MV Mavi Marmara, you know, the flotilla incident. During this raid, he was among the passengers who clashed, you know, with the Israeli military, IDF or whatever. In the course of the clash, O'Keefe claims to have been involved in providing initial first aid, and, you know, he had some run-ins later at the airport when they were trying to extradite him. He claims that, you know, they bashed his head in and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Things, upon close inspection, things aren't adding up, guys. When it comes to these stories, these heroic stories of his, for the most part, all we have to go on is his personal testimony. There isn't a hell of a lot more. Or, you know, the blood that he left on display for the whole day. He refused to wipe it off. Is it even real? Interestingly, he claims he was hit in the forehead, and yet the blood or whatever the hell it was is shown to be on the top of his head and dripping down from the top of his head, not from his forehead down. There's something really suspicious there. But later in the day, the very day that he was attacked, he was interviewed by Al Jazeera. And you don't see, I think it was the next day, actually. Yeah. By that time, he had wiped the blood off, so I think it was the next day. But anyway, no more than a day later, he's interviewed by Al Jazeera. And he doesn't have any bruises, scrapes, nothing on his face or forehead. Nothing. His face is completely pristine. So supposedly he had, you know, a confrontation with them, and now there's nothing. You know, something's wrong with that. He also claims I already covered that. Let's see here. I'm just making sure I'm not repeating myself. I kind of got ahead of myself here. Let's see. Several pro-Palestinian activists have spoken out against O'Keefe over the years. One such person was Greta Berlin, who made these comments on a blog site, or I think it was her Facebook page, whatever. She said, Ken was on our first trip in August 2008. This was another flotilla incident. During the entire voyage, she said, he was obnoxious and finally dangerous to all of us. He threatened some of the activists with bodily harm. Imagine that. If you've seen him, you know he is capable of doing it. You know, he's got military training, right? So apparently he's always pushing his weight around. Finally, she said, he tried to commit mutiny on the Free Gaza, the name of the ship, during the night that we were traveling to Gaza with no outside communication and our ship's captain being sick. So look at this. Look at this, guys. How else can you explain this except saboteurism? The captain was sick. I was talking with a friend about this earlier today, and he suggested that maybe, you know, it sounds like he might have made the captain sick. Maybe he put something, spiked his food or his drink. Yeah. Just to make him incapacitated, get him, you know, bedridden. And then now he figures, now I can take the ship over and screw things up. She went on to say, two or three of us put our feet down and said no. They weren't going to allow him to take over the ship. Apparently, he was claiming that you guys don't know what you're doing. You're not going about this the right way. I'm going to take the ship over now. The captain's sick. He didn't have the right to do that, number one. Number two, this would have created all kinds of problems for them. But I'm getting ahead of myself because this is brought out in this quote. She goes on to say, he did not have paperwork to be a captain, and he is not a captain of anything except a small fishing boat once in Hawaii. He did not seem to comprehend that if Israel had stopped us and we had no captain with papers proving that, he would put us all in risk. Of course, if they boarded the ship and saw, wait a minute, where's the captain? You're not the captain. What are you doing? You know, that would make them, you know, an illegal ship, right? That would be cause to seize the whole ship, bring it in, launch an investigation, seize all the cargo, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Their whole mission would have been sabotaged. So if you ask me, guys, it looks like that was his intent. That was his intent. The Marmara, by the way, I saw some claims that people on the ship did not want him on there. By that time, and by 2010, they were already fed up with this guy, and apparently he was a stowaway. So it looks like he was trying to sabotage that too. Anyway, she goes on to say, he screamed obscenities, threatened several men on board, and told me that he'd get even with me for standing in his way and not letting them take over the ship. This is an egotistical psychopath, if you ask me. This is not somebody, folks, that by any means sounds interested, genuinely interested in helping the Palestinians. He was trying to sabotage this mission. He's been shown to not be forthcoming with the funds, but instead withholds the funds, collecting, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars, walks away with it, doesn't give account. I mean, what more proof do you need? She went on to say, once we arrived in Gaza, we were relieved that he was not coming back with us. We have had nothing to do with him ever since. Wow. I didn't know anything about this until just the past day. This is incredible. No wonder he's not allowed back in Palestine anymore, particularly Gaza. They figured him out. They know he's no damn good. But now, here it goes. Now we need to talk about his twisted psychopathic girlfriend. And of course, we only got a couple of minutes left. I'll have to carry this over into tomorrow's show. But this chick, if you're not familiar with her, you gotta look her up and watch some of these videos. It's not enough to hear me describe this. You got to see it for yourself. It's freaking unbelievable. Sophia, I'm trying to remember what her last name is now that she goes by. Well, I'll get to it later. You can look it up. Or just type in Ken O'Keefe's girlfriend. Ken O'Keefe's trampy girlfriend. You'll see the video. There's a number of different YouTube channels that have it. And just do a Google video search or whatever. You got to see this video. It's maybe, I don't know, 2-3 minutes long. She's sitting next to him in his truck or his Jeep or whatever, and just flaunting herself in a really sickeningly seductive way. It's just so over the top, man. And he seems pleased with the whole thing. He's kind of smirking, you know, like he's showing off his pride and joy. This is my girlfriend. Nothing to be proud of, ladies and gentlemen. Again, you have to wonder, is he doing this? Is he in on it with her? Or is she just trying to sabotage him? Well, seeing what a saboteur he has been with these flotilla incidents, I would say that they're in the cahoots together. Not only is he having himself a grand old time with this this floozy chick, but in the process, he's sabotaging the truth movement, making a mockery of the whole thing. It turns out he actually left his wife and children for this limbo bimbo just last year. So, and apparently he's not had hardly anything to do with his kids or, you know, or his ex ever since. Just completely flatly dumped them and moved on with this ding-a-ling. This is sad, man. This is really sad. Anyway. Just not very becoming of a truther. This chick, as I said, is heavily, heavily into the occult. And I'm not just talking bizarre occultic symbolism. That's bad enough. No. She's into the, to quote the Harry Potter phrase, the dark arts. She is. She's into some really heavy satanic crap that we're going to be talking about. Obviously not today because it's just a few minutes left, but be picking this up tomorrow. She posted this on her Facebook page back in 2015, 2 years ago. Apparently lyrics to some occult song. I don't know if it's her own lyrics because she does write songs, call that music. But and we'll look at some other twisted lyrics tomorrow, but listen to this. This is just four lines. Dead man dancing under the black moon. Don't disturb him. He's leaving this earth soon. What the hell? One commentator that I was looking at was asking the question, you know, not that O'Keefe seems an honest man himself, but if you want to take the track that, you know, he was a decent guy and now he's going off the deep end because this is his CIA appointed handler or something. He was asking the question, is she hinting around here that ultimately she's going to kill this guy like a black widow? She does dress in black quite a bit, by the way. That's very befitting of this twisted little witch. But it almost seems that that's what she's implying here. He does dance a lot, by the way. He's, you know, supposedly quite a dancer. Dead man dancing under the black moon. Don't disturb him. He's leaving this earth soon. Is that some kind of, you know, twisted Riddler, Batman's Riddler style hint that she's going to pop him off at some point? Who knows? I don't think she needs to, though, because I think he's quite the sellout all on his own. But nevertheless, doesn't matter. These are twisted freaking lyrics. What is this guy doing with her if he wants to pawn himself off as a sincere truther? What the hell is he doing with this thing? All right, guys, ran out of time for tonight. We'll pick this up tomorrow. See you then. Take care.
Kyle Hunt, host of The Solar Storm, coming to you every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. I deal with topics related to our past, present, and most importantly, our future. The show has a lot to offer. Occult knowledge, insightful interviews, hard-hitting analysis, and essential inspiration. I know we are living in a world filled with darkness, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We have the power to take back control of our world and reclaim our destiny. But we're running out of time. We need all hands on deck. Will you do your part? Join the struggle and fight for our freedom.